Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You may be seated tonight. I want you to notice here in verse number 20, we've been looking about Paul's future perspective. And we dealt with these aspects in this chapter, how that Paul in the 19th verse is expecting deliverance from the prison. He does expect to ultimately be delivered from this prison. And really, as you look at the concluding verses of this section, he basically says, whether I live or I die, he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm getting out of this prison one way or another, but I expect to be delivered because of the supplication of God's people and the supply of the Spirit of God. And then he said, I am experiencing hope in verse number 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. And so he's experiencing not despair, but in these difficult hours, he is experiencing hope. And in the last part of verse number 20, he lets us know that in this dilemma and in this time of difficulty of his life, he is also intending on exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm preaching about tonight, about the purpose of God in his life was to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's every Christian's ultimate purpose, is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And this third facet of Paul's perspective concerning the future involves the ultimate purpose of his life. Regardless of our plight or our situation tonight, you and I should determine in our hearts that we are going to exalt Jesus Christ in our life. Regardless tonight of the place where God has chosen us to serve. It may be the neighborhood that you're living in. It could be the place where you're working. You say, well, preacher, everybody where I work is unsaved. Good. God has put you there for a purpose, and that is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ among those who do not know Him as their Lord and Savior. Regardless of the problems that we face, you and I should magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every one of us should purpose in our hearts that with our lives we intend to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we do should make much and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when I look at Paul's life, I am amazed at the things that God did in his heart while he was in this prison cell. I'm amazed at the letters that came out of that Roman prison. I'm thankful for the prison letters, or what's called the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. I thank God for these wonderful books in the Bible. But I also thank the Lord tonight for what we might call the resilience of the Apostle Paul during this particular hour of his life. In fact, he had no earthly reason to respond to his trials in such an unusual way. And yet the Spirit of God lifted him up above all the circumstances of his life so that he could see purpose in his pain. Souls had been saved and brethren had been challenged to preach the gospel more boldly. And his heart was far from the doldrums of defeat. In fact, even in this hour, he had purposed in his heart that he would rejoice. Verse 18, he said, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He expected deliverance. He also is experiencing the hope. He has no shame about his situation because he's not incarcerated because he's suffering as an evildoer. He's incarcerated because he's suffering as a child of God for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. I said Paul had a certain resilience. Some of you remember this. That when I was a young man, we'd go to the bubble gum machine. We'd get these little balls. And they were called super balls. And the harder you could throw them down on the ground, the higher they'd bounce. And that's kind of the way the Apostle Paul was. He had that kind of resilience in his life. The harder Satan tried to smack him down, thank God, the higher he would rise. And God used him by inspiration to give us this wonderful letter called Philippians in our lives tonight. And then tonight, the second amazing factor in Paul's life is the fact that he never allowed his circumstances to control his joy or keep him from the purpose of God for his life to magnify Christ. Now, most often what happens with most of us, sometimes when circumstances arise that are irritating and aggravating and inconvenient and upsetting our life, we let those things magnify themselves in us and on us and through us so that they eclipse all the joy that we have in the Christian life. Could I get an amen right there? Sometimes we allow those things to overcome the real joy we should be experiencing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that Paul's reaction was not natural. It was supernatural. I thank God the way he responded is the way we can respond if we respond to our trials and tests in a godly way. And none of us can respond that way unless the Spirit of God helps us to address our problems in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third amazing factor about Paul's life at this stage is resolve that he continually possesses in the trials that he goes through. And you probably missed this phrase. I know I did many times going over this text in verse 20. The Bible said, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. As always, so now also. It reveals how he desired to remain consistent in his Christian experience in spite of changing circumstances. Well, you say, preacher, I've been going through a lot, haven't we all? Amen. Well, you don't know what I'm up against. No, I don't, but I know one who does. And I know the Holy Spirit can help you via changing circumstances of life and challenging circumstances of life. He can help you even when you're dealing with carnal and ungodly acquaintances and chafing enemies and possible suffering in your life. Paul's resolve was related to the ultimate purpose of his life. He said, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, if you and I live by purpose instead of by circumstances, then we can live probably closer to what he's prescribing for us here in our text tonight. It seems like when I look and I synthesize all that I've learned about him up to this point in his experience, it seems like here is a man that is satisfied with God's providential care of his life. Now, he's not in the best of circumstances. He's in the prison there at Rome, and he's chained to a guard 24 hours a day, but he's not dissatisfied with God's providential care in his life. He's satisfied, hallelujah, with the hand that is controlling the circumstances of his life. He's satisfied with God's providential care of his life. He's sustained by God's mighty power. And listen tonight, if you and I could get here tonight, it would so help us to be joyful in our Christian lives. He's sustained by God's mighty power. He's stabilized by God's wonderful promises. Oh, I'm glad tonight I have such words in the Bible as, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. I'm glad I have such words in the Bible as be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Have the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm glad you and I can be stabilized by the promises of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Thank God. I'm glad God tonight can stabilize us in difficult days if we take the promises of God. Hallelujah. Not only that, Paul is satisfied with God's providential care. You say, preacher, I don't like what's going on in my life right now. Well, at any given time and stages and seasons of your life, you're going to have that kind of opinion in your life. I want to tell you this. You better trust the hand that's on the wheel of your life. You better trust the God whose providential care has watched over you all these years. You better certainly lean on His sustaining and mighty power. You better look to be stabilized by His promises. And you better be secure in His plan. And you see, Paul basically is down to the realization that he's in God's hands and not in the hands of the Roman government. Hallelujah. In fact, he says, whether by life or by death. He said, if I'm going to live, he said, it's going to be more profitable for you. He said, but if I die, it's going to be gain because I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. To live, to die, to be with Christ. And he says, if I get out of this prison, I'm going to go on magnifying Christ. But if I get out of this prison by my head being chopped off, I'm going to be in the presence of my Redeemer who loved me and died for me. Hallelujah. He said, either way, Christ shall be magnified in my body. And that's His divine purpose in His life. And He states it with such divine confidence that we need to explore tonight what it means. For Christ, the Bible said, shall be magnified. That's His holy purpose. And you know, Christ wants to magnify Himself through us. You and I are to be the Lord's magnifiers. I remember when I was a little boy, my granny gave me a magnifying glass. She couldn't read the paper without a magnifying glass. She had cataracts on her eyes ever since she was this little girl. And she gave me a magnifying glass and said, look at this, hon. Look what this does. And we went out in the sun. And she said, let me show you something. She got an old dry leaf and she got out in the sun and she got that magnifying glass and she said, look here, hold it back like this. And it zeroed in a ray of that sun. And the next thing you know, that little old leaf started catching on fire. And you see, it was not the fact that I didn't know how powerful the sun was. But when you magnify it, boy, it's amazing what it can do. And when you magnify Jesus, and when He magnifies Himself through your life, it's amazing what God can do if He can just get you and I to become His magnifiers. Hallelujah. In fact, the meaning tonight of the word magnify means to make great in representation. It means to exalt in description or praise. It means to extol. It means to exalt. It means to elevate. It means to raise in estimation. And that's what Noah Webster said the word magnify means. And the practical outworking of it in praise indicates that when we magnify, we celebrate in praise the greatness, of course, of our wonderful Savior. And so when we magnify the Savior, we make Him great in representing Him. I thank God for those who magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in praise. I thank God for those who exalt Him in His creature. I thank God for those who testify and sing and magnify the wonders and glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, His reflection and glory are seen in us when we magnify Him in a dark and lost world. There's essentially two types of magnification that we are familiar with. We are probably more familiar with two simple types of magnification. Now, there's all types of magnification in our society. Rifle scopes are types of magnification. These spectacles that I wear and you wear are types of magnification. They adjust our ability to be able to see things. I'm nearsighted. I can see my notes up here, but I can't see the individual expressions on people's faces way back there. There are two simple kinds of magnification. There's the microscope, and the microscope takes the smallest things that God has ever made. Did you know there are microscopic things in this air we're breathing tonight? There are microscopic things in our world that you and I cannot see that can be seen in the microscope. And through the technology today, they can see more now of the microscope than ever before. And the microscope makes little things seem bigger than they actually are. They allow us to get a view of things that you cannot see with the naked eye. But I want to tell you tonight, there's a magnifier called faith. Faith tonight will allow you to see things that you cannot see with the normal and the natural eye. Faith
faith.
Hallelujah. It's a wonderful magnifier that allows us to see things like God desires for us to see. Hallelujah. So faith is a magnifier, but there's the microscope. It takes the smallest things and brings them near to us. And then there's the telescope. The telescope takes things distant and brings them nearer to us. The telescope takes things that are far off and it brings those things that are distant near to us. And you know what a Christian does when they magnify Christ? To the world, God seems so far away. He seems like he's an abstract being out there that cannot be communicated with and that cannot be reached and that is not concerned. What happens tonight when you and I begin to magnify Christ? As we take this great God of glory, we bring such a nearness into the picture so those that are lost can begin to see that one that seems so distant, seems to come so near. Hallelujah tonight when we magnify the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. In fact, the ministry that we have, the meaning that we have in this magnifying of Christ is so important. And the ministry we have in it is important as well. Now, ungodly men seek to minimize Jesus Christ. Any serious consideration of the Bible cannot be tolerated in our society. They don't look at it as a factual book, as an inspired book, and an infallible book. In fact, I was even reading in a secular college book this week different things about what they believe. The secularists that teach the Old Testament, what they believe about creation. They do not believe in a creation like the Genesis account says. And then they begin to explore the other theories that are found in heathen cultures and their theories of creation that are found in many heathen cultures. Now, I want to say to you tonight that you and I that are saved tonight, we don't minimize Christ. We don't minimize the Bible. We don't minimize our Savior. Ungodly men minimize Him. Ungodly men ignore Him. Ungodly men reject Him. Ungodly men curse His wonderful name. And they despise and they defame the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The wicked walk on every side. When the vilest of men are exalted, the Bible said in Psalm 12 and verse 8, and the only things that are magnified in our society are things that are objectionable. Amen. You say, what's been magnified? Just turn on the television. What's been magnified? It's the pop music singers. It's the wicked actors out of Hollywood. It's the people who live the worst sorts of lives. It's the people that strip their clothes off and live immoral lives. And they use their filthy language and their innuendos. That which is magnified is that which is obscene and that which is outright wicked. And in the scripture, though, you and I that are saved are called upon to magnify Jesus Christ, to exalt Him, to exclaim His greatness, and to lift Him up, and to make sure that He has the preeminence before an unbelieving world. In fact, you and I are called upon tonight to magnify the Lord. Let's look in Psalm 34 tonight, and we'll run a few references tonight. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 3. Psalm 34 verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So the psalmist is calling upon you and I to magnify Christ. You and I to magnify Him together. Oh, I think sometimes what would it be like if every individual member come to church and all they had on their mind for the service was to sing about Christ and to magnify Him, was to testify about Christ and to magnify Him, that was to preach about Christ and to magnify Him, and to shout His praises and glorify His holy name. And the psalmist said, oh, I want you to join in with me. Let's start a chorus of praise. And let's magnify the Lord. And let's exalt His name together. You and I are given an invitation to magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. It's our invitation from the scripture. Oh, magnify the Lord. Well, you say, well, you know, preacher, I just don't get involved in all that. Well, you ought to. You ought to get involved in magnifying Jesus. Oh, my. If you and I tonight could just magnify Him and exalt his name together. And then Mary said this in Luke chapter 1 in her song of praise to the Redeemer in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And she praises Him, and she magnifies God, and she magnifies her Savior. It's not only an invitation for all the saved, but it's a proclamation for those and from those who know Christ and are in love with Him. Oh, I thank God tonight you and I can magnify the Son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Is that what your soul does tonight? Does your soul, and listen, I know the world's in bad state. I understand that. I understand the headlines are all bad. All the news is bad. Coming out of the news media, it seems like there's nothing good. I mean, there's killings on every side. Bad news from here. Bad news from there. Internationally, nationally, locally, citywide, countywide, at most all of it's bad. Oh, but isn't it good tonight? Hallelujah. And when I look above the stars, and when I look up in the glory world, everything's all right from heaven's side. Everything's all right from the glory side. God is still on His throne. And God is still answering prayer. And the power of God's still real. And the gospel still saves. And Jesus is still to be worshipped and magnified. And lift it up. You and I that are saved tonight ought to magnify the Lord and exalt His holy name. Amen. Oh, there is not only an invitation and a proclamation, but the psalmist said it like this in Psalm 69, verse 30. He gave an exclamation. Here's what he said. I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. That is, with our song and with our thankfulness, we can magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been places, and you have too, where when you go in, you think that you showed up to a complaining party. I mean, it seemed like everything they got to say. I walked into a place one morning to do some business, and I said to the fellow at the counter, I said, good morning. And he looked across at me like this, Brother Mark. He said, what's good about it? I said, well, I got up this morning, and I didn't read my name in an obituary, and God is good, heaven's real. Thank God. I want to tell you this. Hallelujah. God is good. And you and I can magnify Him by just thanking Him. Oh, praise His holy name. I thank Him for the roof over my head. I thank Him for the clothes on my back. I thank Him for the food on my table. I thank Him for all of life's blessings. In fact, I've got so much to thank Him for. I think I'll just thank Him again and again and again. I think I'll let thanksgiving be a daily practice. That's all I can thank Him and praise Him. And the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. And so it's an invitation. It's a proclamation. It's an exclamation. Now I want to say tonight, it's an application that you and I ought to get a hold of. You and I, as born again believers tonight, ought to be so close to Him that we can magnify Him. Have you ever heard people talk about their children or their grandchildren? Have you ever heard them talk about them? I mean, they just gush. I was in a place today and a lady and a man came in. They had four little grandchildren. And you know, when you get older and your kids get grown, you watch older adults because all the old people's eyes focused on that grandma and grandpa that come carrying in their grandbabies. And you could tell, boy, they were proud of them grandbabies. Had four grandbabies, and they was cute as a little old button and had a couple little girls and a couple boys. And they were looking, boy, somebody come by the table. And they were talking, and boy, they gushed about them grandchildren. I mean, they just it was this and that. And they went on and on. And they were just all happy about them grandbabies. Oh, you and I ought to be so fired up and stirred up about having a Savior like we have and a God like we have. Oh, tonight we ought to magnify Him and glorify Him and have Him on the lips. Thank God and praise Him and magnify the Son of God. Amen. But unspiritual people tonight fail to magnify Christ. In fact, they lose the purpose for which God has saved them, is to glorify and magnify Christ. This is the essence of getting away from God. It's when you become fixated on something else besides Christ. He said, Christ shall be magnified in my body. And so unspiritual people fail to faithfully and fully and fervently magnify Christ. You and I are saying the purpose of our life tonight is to glorify and to magnify Christ. It's not, friend, what you remember about me, but it's what you remember about Jesus that really matters. Amen. That's right. And so it's part of our purpose tonight. It is God's divine purpose for every one of His children to magnify Christ. He must increase, John the Baptist said, and I must decrease. And the more He's on the rise and the more I'm on the decline, the better off it is. The more He looms large and the better I stand in the shadow of His cross, the better I am tonight. Oh, the divine purpose is for me to magnify Christ. The distinct place, He said in verse 20, He said, Christ shall be magnified. Where? In my body. Now listen carefully to this. Now our generation in its fallen state is magnifying not Christ, but the body. They magnify the body. It is the human body that's been magnified. And now, so much so, the laws of morality and decency have gone out the door and out the window and down the stairs and into the basement. Say amen. And all those laws of decency have gone aside because now they no longer magnify Christ, but they magnify the body. We're even told today that it doesn't matter how you dress or what you wear, just as long as everybody knows you're a Christian. Well, Paul said that Christ is to be magnified in our bodies. We're not to magnify our body. And by the way, if they see more of you than they see of Him, Christ is not magnified. In fact, this whole purpose is wonderfully put together in God's plan. Paul is not seeking to magnify his body. He is seeking to magnify Christ. By the way, we are in a generation now where body image is everything. If you don't have a certain body shape or size, and we hear these types of terms, fat shaming and body image, all these movie stars and public figures are plastered all over the media outlets because she's too fat or she's too skinny and all this. And all of it's about body image nowadays. But God is not trying to magnify the body. God is trying to magnify Christ. Christ is either magnified in your body or something else in your body is magnified to the exclusion of Christ. And these days, I know even in church circles, they're saying today that it does not really matter how you dress. Well, dress is not a preferential issue, it's a moral issue. See, what makes it a moral issue is God has commands in the Bible about modesty in the Scripture. Now, when God places a command in the Bible about modesty, that makes it a moral issue, not a preferential issue. Now, in the Scripture, we know that the body is important. The fallen state of man today is seen in his repeated attempts to glorify the human body. Now, honestly, I have preached in places where, honestly, it could have been a fashion show for Cosmopolitan more than a revival meeting. Why? It's because lust-filled modes of dress and provocative modes of dress were all over the church house. They were in the choir, they were on the front row, they were on the middle section and the back row and the balcony. And I was even in a place one time in a meeting and I even heard somebody say who invited me to that meeting said, I thought he preached more than obviously he does. Something like that. As if to say to look up in the choir and to see a young lady with a mini skirt on that was short enough that if she moved the right way, it would be very inconvenient for her and everybody else. And listen tonight, Christ tonight is to be magnified in our body, not our body magnifying itself. Fleshly beauty, lust-filled advertisers, body worship abounds, selfie images all over social media so that people can magnify their human body to the exclusion of Christ. Tonight, the application must not be denied. Now listen carefully. Christ needed a body to fulfill the will of His Father. Hebrews 10:5, God prepared His Son a body. Christ was always God, but He was not always man. And so Hebrews 10:5 said God prepared Him a body, and in His body He came to this world. In that body, He conveyed the love of the Father, and eventually He laid down His life and showed us how much He loved us, right? In that body, He died. In that body, He was buried. And in that body, He rose. Now His body is no longer here personally. Jesus Christ is no longer here. But He's in heaven at the Father's right hand. But according to His wise plan, this is what He did. He purchased some bodies. Amen. He purchased some bodies and He made them His temple. And He sought an avenue to magnify Himself to the world. He desires to possess our bodies and make them a billboard whereby He magnifies Himself to a lost world. Amen. But God has chosen the body to make Himself preeminent and to manifest His glory through. Christ is magnified in your body. You think about this. God has made your body His billboard whereby He can be magnified. He's magnified in lips that bear a wonderful testimony of His saving grace. He's magnified by hands that are employed in the service of the gospel and of others. He's magnified in feet that are happy to go and serve Him and serve for His glory and honor. He's magnified by knees that are bent in prayer and intercession and supplication. He's magnified in shoulders that are happy to bear the burdens of others. He's magnified in faces that display the glory and the beauty and the joy of God Almighty tonight. Amen. He's magnified in our bodies tonight. And that is tonight what we should call the distinct place where Christ is to be magnified. And the Bible reveals here finally Paul's definite potential in all of this. He said, whether by life or by death. Listen carefully, because Paul expected and knew that Christ would be magnified, whatever the Roman officials decided at their court. He said, Christ is going to be magnified. Now listen carefully. Paul's not troubled about the outcome of his trial. He's not bothered about facing Caesar Nero. If God is pleased, He's going to let him live. And if he lives, he's going to go on magnifying Christ. He's going to go on helping God's people. He's going to go on sharing the gospel. He's going to go on running his race. And we know through biblical history, that's exactly what he did. He got out of this prison. He went on running his race. He went on magnifying Jesus. He went on serving God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And yet, if he did not get released, if he was condemned to die, Paul had given himself over to the Lord. And dying would only mean that God was finished with his ministry and that his race was over. Now, listen carefully. You and I could benefit from such a perspective on the future, can we not? Paul had a better perspective in his own situation than a lot of us that face adversity in our hour. If only somehow I could remember that every detail of my life has already been gone over by my all-knowing Savior. Dr. Seitler used to say it like this. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God didn't just sit up there and he said, oh no, look at them, they had a flat tire on the side of the road. What am I going to do? No. Did it ever occur to us that every detail of our lives has already been gone over according to the omniscience of our Savior? Every difficulty we seem to face is not beyond His omnipotence. And every place we find ourselves in, according to His will, we'll also find that our Savior is right there with us. And I look across this audience tonight, and I know some of you have been through deep and dark valleys in the last few years. And some of us, even, it may be my turn the next time. It may be my wife's turn. It may be somebody else's turn that's newer here. But there have been some of you that we went to the hospital and we stayed with you and a loved one. And we've been there day after day. Or we've been in the death chamber day after day after day. And the doctor will say, well, it'll be about 24 hours. And then it'll be another day and another day and another day. Or we go down and we get the bad news from the test and all of that, and we walk through those dark valleys. Oh, it would help my heart if I could just remember that every detail of my life has already gone through the omniscient mind of my wonderful Savior, that He's in charge, and no matter what I face, hallelujah, He's right there with me. Amen. Oh yes, He's right there with me. And when I go through that, if I could remember just that whether by life or by death, whether if tomorrow you find out Preacher Wenzel had a heart attack and fell out and died and dead on a hammer before the ambulance could get there, you just remember that Christ shall be magnified, whether in life or in death. Now I desire to go on magnifying. If He lets me have another year, I want to go on magnifying. Now, I thought about this. I was reminded of this on Tuesday when I was lost. I never thought I'd live to be 30 years old. Here I am already way past 50. Say amen right there. Oh, somebody said, I hope the Lord will give you 53 more years. Well, I don't know if this world's going to be able to stand 53 more years at the rate we're going. But I'm hoping I'll be in heaven running around on the street of gold, enjoying my mansion, praising God, and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether by life or by death, I desire, the grand purpose of my life is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart's desire is to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember reading this years ago. I love to read the history of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I recently watched a documentary video that's on the internet about his life. And one of the greatest preachers that ever lived probably did more for God in the short lifespan that he lived, and he really didn't live a long life. But he did more for God than many men that have ever lived to be 100 years old. They said that some visitors visited the Metropolitan Tabernacle pulpit on the Lord's Day, and that there was another man that was in that same area that was a notable preacher, that while they were visiting there, in that area, they intended on one Lord's Day to go to the Metropolitan Tabernacle and hear Charles Spurgeon. And they intended on another day to go and visit this other man's pulpit and church, whose name I can't bring up right now. So they went to that notable man who was one of his peers in that hour. And they walked out of the church and they looked at each other, and here's what they said. They said, oh my, what a preacher. And the next Lord's Day, they went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and Charles Spurgeon got up to preach that day. And he said he walked out and he preached that day. And when they walked out of the tabernacle that day, they looked at each other and said, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. No, if you and I, if we serve Him aright, if we testify about Him aright, if we sing about Him aright, if we talk about Him aright, if we teach about Him aright, if we preach about Him aright, may they see Christ magnified in our lives. Paul said, I'm exalting Christ in this prison experience. If I go out by the Roman axe, filling my head and graduating the presence of my Savior, or if I go out and get acquitted and get liberty, I'll go on magnifying Jesus Christ in my life, because that's my ultimate purpose, is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.